May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, and he is named Prince of Peace. When I was growing up on Long Island, we had 7 channels to choose from when watching television. Not because my parents were strict, although my mother was, but rather because there were only 7. Channels 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. Only 7 and a television with a dial. Do you know what that is, a dial? We never lost the remote in the seat cushions because it didn't exist. Instead, from time to time, the channel dial would fall off from flipping it too fast, and we would be in trouble. You probably have to be at least 40. As I was writing this sermon, I thought probably you have to be at least 40 to remember those days. Each year, about 2 weeks before Christmas, we had the tradition of watching a Charlie Brown Christmas. At 8 p.m., we would settle down in front of the TV and put on Channel 2, which was CBS. As a little boy, this was one of my favorite Christmas traditions. What I loved most about A Charlie Brown Christmas was the portrayal of Linus reading the Gospel of Luke for the Christmas pageant rehearsal. There was such peace in his voice as the angels proclaimed to the shepherds that the Savior, Christ the Lord, had been born. Luke's Gospel for Christmas, which was read on Christmas Eve, proclaims that an angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Right in the midst of that story, the serenity of that Charlie Brown Christmas is broken. But just for a moment, because the angel then says to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." Just as a side note, one of the things that I've taught many years in my Sunday school class is that don't be so anxious to meet an angel. You know, Hallmark portrays these angels as these beautiful little creatures in lovely little faces, but every time in the Bible when an angel appears, it says, "And they were really scared." So on Christmas Eve, in the midst of the birth of the Savior of the world, on that first Christmas Eve, the shepherds and indeed all whom would encounter the Christ child are confronted with their fears. That beautiful Christmas carol that we sing out, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." In Jesus Christ, all of our fears are exposed. We know all too well that often the serenity of the Charlie Brown Christmas, Christmas classic that has lasted all of these decades, is broken. From small and somewhat insignificant ways, such as our children maybe misbehaving on Christmas morning, to families coming together that perhaps don't get along quite so well with one another, to having the hardship of spending a Christmas without someone we love. The Charlie Brown Christmas can be broken. And yet, that being true, it is important for you to look beyond, even if it is a struggle, to the way in which the Christ event proclaimed by the angels can meet your fears and bring you peace during these 12 days of Christmas. Christmastide, as we call it in the Episcopal Church, in the world of Anglicanism. Priest and theologian Henry Nouwen once wrote, "You will not be able to meet Jesus in your body while your body remains full of doubts and fears." He writes, "Jesus came to free you from these bonds and to create in you a space where you can be with him." What are your fears? What are you anxious about? What keeps you awake at night? What are you afraid of that keeps you, if you will, from fully meeting Jesus Christ and finding peace? Perhaps with me, you are afraid of a world that seems a lot less certain than Christmases ago. I keep wondering if it's just that I'm getting older now, and I'm starting to sound like my parents and grandparents used to sound, talking about, oh, the way it used to be. But it does really seem that the world is a lot more complicated now. This morning, as I was getting ready for early church, I always turn the news on to make sure that nothing catastrophic has happened during the night that I need to be aware of before I preach and celebrate and pray. And I thought for a moment to myself, perhaps in 2013, I'll watch the news a lot less. It's so unsettling, isn't it? A world where terrorists indiscriminately kill innocent civilians, a world with nations that seem much more focused upon standing in war against one another than sitting at a table in peace together, a world where different ethnic and religious peoples prefer to focus upon their differences rather than their common bonds of our humanity. A world where, certainly in my lifetime, we can no longer let our children go outside freely and play. We can't leave our doors unlocked. Maybe some of you still can. And now we fear for their safety even at school. And all of these fears may combine to keep us from meeting Christ and finding peace. Finding the true peace of this Christmas season. The poet John Milton wrote of December and Christmas, "This is the month and this the happy morn wherein the Son of Heaven's eternal King, of wedded maid and virgin mother born, our great redemption from above did bring. For so the holy sages once did sing, that he was our deadly forfeit should release, and with his Father work in us a perpetual peace." A perpetual peace. Can God work that in you? Are you searching for that kind of peace in your life this Christmas? The kind of peace not only for your life, but for your family, your work, and all of your relationships. I believe this kind of peace is possible. It's possible for each of us. And we begin when we place our fears with that Christ child. We name them silently, perhaps this morning, to God. We place them in the Word that became flesh and lived among us. This season can be a time when your faith and life brings you toward a new place. Eugene Field once wrote, "And now I kneel in prayer at the cradle of the Christ child today. Nor crown, nor robe, nor spice I bring as offering unto Christ my King. And he goes on to say, but rather I bring who I am to Jesus. The first Sunday of Christmas, which is today. It's a low Sunday, so you get extra credit for being here today. It's a time when I invite you to place all of that which you hold on to, which holds you back, in the Christ child, in the manger, if you will. Sometimes we lose sight of how simple the story of our faith really is, that an angel of God came to a young, poor woman named Mary and announced to her that she would give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. At the 8 o'clock service, I pointed to the triptych behind the altar and said, never could that 14-year-old young woman imagine that she would be remembered in this beautiful artwork centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries old. That Joseph was to be her husband. Could they have ever known of all of the implications? Did Mary and Joseph have some fears? Of course they did. They had to. But Mary says yes to God, and together with Joseph, they travel to that city of Bethlehem, and she gives birth to Jesus in the stable with Joseph and the resident animals, and it's hardly noticed. But when they look into the eyes of their newborn son, their fears were given over to peace. A peace that was in the beginning, as John writes in his gospel, but had now been born into the world for eternity through Mary. So Isaiah proclaims that God's Son would be the Prince of Peace. And so he has been for some 21 centuries. This Christmas, I invite you, as we walk through these days of the remainder of this season until Epiphany on January the 6th, I invite you to turn over all of that which is holding you back to Jesus Christ, the Christ child, and let Jesus take them into his very being. And allow Jesus, in doing so, to give you his peace. Peace to you, and peace to those you love. Amen.